pure and genuine religion in the sight of the God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. You guys go have a seat. Yes, thank you. And that's about as old school as this one is going to get. For somebody in a collared shirt and a collared little jacket to read James 1:27 when we do the Bowles home speech, right? And that's kind of what we're used to. And every time I've heard presentations about Bowles, I've always heard that verse. And I'm thinking, I don't think there's one widow or really orphan that we serve. But I'm going to speak to that a little bit later because I think James is meaning a whole lot more than that. We are here representing Arms of Hope. We are the Bowles Home Campus. But Arms of Hope is bigger than just the Bowles Campus here in Quinlan. Arms of Hope has a children's home at Medina, Texas, which is way out in the middle of nowhere. And there are deer everywhere. Last time I went down there, we hit a deer, and luckily it ran off because I didn't want to have to tell that to the kids who were driving with me and had that story. That would have been a life skill to drag a deer off the road. But but down there, it's a pretty nice campus. We also have a campus at Duncanville, which is my hometown, which is pretty awesome, in conjunction with the Duncanville Church of Christ, and my parents are here representing Duncanville. And they've been doing that for about a year and a half, right? 2 years, something like that. 2 years. And it's pretty cool because it's at the same apartment complexes that I used to throw papers at. When I was a 5th through 10th grade, we had a paper route. And so there's a lot of different services going on there. If you've never been to the Bowles campus here, it's a community. I mean, it really is a community. There's a school right next door. The children's home there. Everybody who lives up and down the street either is a staff member or a resident of the home. So I would invite you to come out and visit the campus. In fact, if you'll go to the next slide, there's your invitation if you can read it. Next Saturday, June 14th from 10 to 11:30, it's kind of a come and go reception for our new hospitality center. Our hospitality center is behind some of our cottages. It looks like the Noah's Ark. In fact, one of our house parents took a picture of the big double rainbow going around the Ark. But you can come see that. That's where our new arrangements are for our off-campus groups when they come in. You go on to the next one, and there we go. I'm excited to be here. I'm just going to give you a heads up. I've kind of got the perfect storm situation going on right now. Because not only am I preaching today, I also have a cottage with me. And so if there's a little roar that goes on back there, you understand, but I think you guys are all good. And I'm also on call for the other cottages as well. So Sarah's going to be taking over for me if that situation happens. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be here because I think I am the only one who knows practically everybody here. And that's pretty awesome. Earlier this week, I was with Elizabeth and Grace back here in their cottage, and they turned on Roku. You guys know what Roku is? Okay, it's internet TV that I don't get because we have to pay per megabyte at our house. I think we have a maximum of 20 megabytes on our plan per month. They probably use, we're now to 30 because we had to pay an extra $75. But yeah, thanks to Megan. I think they use 20 to 30 megabytes a day at the cottages, just so much feed. But they turned on Roku, and they had the very first episode of Hannah Montana. And you're going, oh, no. It didn't have the old Miley that we know now. She was cute back then. She was 13, and she was all pure and innocent. But she had the song, the theme song. The best of both worlds. And that's how I feel right now. Because I've got my family at Pecan Grove. I got my family from Bowles. I got my parents here. I've got the best of three worlds. going on right now, and it's pretty cool. This is what we think of traditionally when we look at the Bowles campus. And the Bowles campus, we have several different programs that we offer and have available. One of them is the residential care program, which is the next one. And the residential care program consists of four cottages, now five, thanks to the Hopkins. Everybody, this is the Hopkins family. They're our new set of house parents.
Very glad they're here.
Yes, we're extremely glad that they're here. That way, I don't have to take over cottages anymore, which is kind of a beating after a full day at work to go to a cottage from 3 till 11 at night. Yeah, and Sarah doesn't have to either, which is great for our summertime plans, but we're excited that they're here. They're taking over as our relief cottages. Every cottage has up to 8 kids in it. And the folks that we serve there, I want to talk a little bit about the kids there that we serve. It's pretty awesome experience for them. This boy on the right here, he is not happy with this picture whatsoever. He told me the other day that he doesn't like that picture because it's showing him working. To me, it looks like he's tossing horseshoes, but we do have our kids. They do definitely work sometimes. We got a couple of boys who are going to work for me tomorrow. Right? Yeah, I'm going to do some cleaning. Thank you, Tony, Chris. But we have quite a few residents with us right now. I think we have 26, 27. But summertime is a time for transition. So if we'll go to the next slide, I'm proud of our graduates. These both have been here. Last week, I think I introduced Josh to you. He graduated on Thursday. And he was here for a brief moment till his mom came in from Florida, who he hadn't seen in 5 years, which is a pretty amazing experience. Josh plans to attend our college and career program. We have a college and career program located at the Medina campus, and they live at the Medina campus pretty independently, and they go to a local college or university there called Shriner University. It's a private university that Arms of Hope has made arrangements with where they get free tuition. And then their room and board comes from the Medina campus. All they have to do is drive to school every day. And we're pretty excited about that. We do have two people who are in the other part of the college and career program, which is scholarship money, that are very close to us. One is my daughter, Megan, who is a resident there. And we're very excited about that because she's attending Oklahoma Christian University, and that costs money. And I don't have that kind of money. But we're excited about that. And the other one is Jessica Kissinger, who is at Lubbock Christian, and she's working. Did she finish her May semester?
She's the counselor this summer at one of the Christian camps.
Awesome. For LCU.
Uh-huh.
She graduates next year at the same time that Megan is, but she started a year later. So it's pretty awesome to have to know Jessica. And Jessica was one of our residents since she was in second grade or something like that. A lot of you guys know Jessica. She was in your cottage too, wasn't she, Joe? Yeah, awesome. So we have that going on. Melody on the right, she is going to be attending Tarleton State University. She's got several scholarships, and she's going to be working there with doing one of her dreams, which is to study agribusiness, which is pretty cool. I didn't show our two house parent kids who graduated at the same time, but they are moving on to better and bigger things because we're a family out there. We are a family, and we take care of these folks. But we've got two graduates. We've got several kids that are going to be transitioning home. One of our primary goals is to reunify families. And if our families are able to be reunified, we try to bring them back together. And all in all, we're going to have about 10 kids leave us this summer, which means we're going to have between 10 and 15 kids coming to us this summer. So we are transition. We are in the midst of change. But we're always in a constant state of change, aren't we, Sarah? I mean, it's back and forth. My next door neighbor back here, Sarah Hobbs, is the director of the Together program. So if you'll go to the next one, she has been working in a residential care site, and now she directs the Together program. We've got several representatives there. The way God works at our program is we found once you're in the family, you stay within the family. We started, what, 7 years ago? 6.5 years ago as house parents, Sarah and I did. And God quickly showed us that that wasn't for us. And we moved on and resigned, but God wasn't done with us at Bowles, and neither was the family. So we stayed on and into the jobs that we have today. Sarah works temporarily and part-time and whenever we can use her. And then I work there full-time as the home life supervisor. I direct the care of the kids in the cottages. Amen. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. And Sarah, Miss Diane's known some of that back and forth that we do. We were talking about that this week. Miss Diane's here with us. But I thought Richard was supposed to be here today. Johnson? Yeah, he was going to talk a little bit about the Together program and kind of go with that. But we have, in our Together program, we have really two programs in there. We have our Right Start program, which houses, what, up to 3 or 4 moms? 4? Okay. And that is for new moms, either with very young children or who are pregnant. And I'm going to pick on Brittany back here. I'm going to pick on all of you, by the way. Brittany back here, who's due next week. Wow. Yeah, we're very excited about that. I know Brittany's very excited about that. Shuffle it along. But we have the Right Start program that houses 4 moms within a used to be a cottage setting, which used to be our cottage that we lived in, and we wish it was as nice then as it is now, because they did a major revamp on it, and they just gutted the whole thing. The other part of the Together program is we have quadplexes and duplexes that house up to 20 moms and their families. So all in all, we serve at this moment around 100 clients between moms, kids in care, and then the mom's kids. And it's pretty amazing. I didn't even talk about our outreach program at Skillman Avenue Church of Christ and how they help out people, kind of like on a benevolence need when people are referred to churches to get help with rent and things like that. They'll send them to the Arms of Hope branch at Skillman Avenue and try to get them help that way. And so we provide rental assistance and family assistance as well. But the Together program is a pretty unique opportunity. What we do is try to take moms where they are now and get them to the next step. And one of our recent, I guess, graduates within our program is Crystal. No, back, sorry, I'm pointing at Crystal. You can go back, thanks. Okay, Crystal just got her nurse associates in. Okay, and she's accepted in the nursing program, and this happened this past week. So we're very proud of Crystal. Yes, it's okay to clap for Crystal. But a couple of our other moms that we have that I've shown up here, Sonia came to us a while back, and she just recently got her U.S. citizenship, and we're very proud of that. And we got to, I got to work with her on working with her son, because not only are we trying to help them get to their life goal, but also to connect with their kids more. And Sonia came to us and said, well, I don't know English that well, and my son knows more English than I do. And sometimes he corrects me, and I don't know how to read to him well in English. I said, well, it's okay if you talk to him in Spanish. And it was just like an eye-opening for her to be able to recognize that she could parent her child in the way that she parents, not necessarily in what she expects or thinks that people expect of her. And then on the right is Patricia, and she is working right now. She just got her associates, right? And she is going to be working in Garland, possibly. She's working, trying to get to Garland to be a teacher's assistant and get her teaching certificate. And I really don't know if she came to Bowles expecting to go that route. No, she didn't. Okay. I think she was planning on going a different route. And it was pretty awesome to watch that grow. She started working with me with some of the kids in one of our small groups that we work with kids. And she started realizing that she had a gift, not only with her kids, but other people's kids as well. And it's pretty awesome to watch that God make that known to us, what our calling is, what our true selves are. And I think that's what Christ does in us. Richard Johnson, who's worked with our Together Program moms pretty recently, he was able to get his doctoral thesis research done through Bowles. And the way he did that is he came in and he showed our moms how to do play therapy. And you were a part of that, right, weren't you, Crystal? And so what he did is he came in and talked to you guys and then had you apply it with your own kids at the same time. And we had seven moms in that program. And he was able to get his research done. But let me just tell you, you got to pay a lot of money to learn how to do play therapy. Dr. Gary Landreth up at UNT, he's been doing this forever. He invented play therapy, the quote-unquote play therapy. And it cost a lot of money to do that. And so he probably provided a service for our moms that would have easily cost them $1,000 a piece. And he did it for free, so it was with a working relationship. We've got several of our interns that are starting this summer, have been with us for a while, who work for us for free, and they provide a great service to us, not only on counseling, because we try to provide counseling to every one of our residents, and so they provide a lot of counseling for us, but also they provide just some fresh insight into what's going on with our kids. So we've got a lot of cool stuff happening within that program. Did I miss anything on the Together program, Sarah? No? You wouldn't say anything if I did, would you? All right. Thank you. All right, Tim, if you'll go to the next slide. Tony, you've grown up since this picture, haven't you? We don't just provide the three hots and a cot, is what people used to think of a children's home. If you go to the Bowles campus, you'll see two-story buildings. One's called Girl Haven, and one used to be called Boy Haven. Now, if you had figured it out by now, that's where all the girls lived and all the boys lived. And there were two big buildings that housed 200 kids apiece. And two ladies ran that show. They used to call them matrons. And that was the way it worked. And if the kids got food, that was good. And if they had a bed for at least 5 out of the 7 nights a week, that was good. If you go over to our daycare, which is a pretty new service within the past 10 years, 10 or 15 years that we've had, and you go over to our daycare building, you can walk in, and it's an older building, and right in the middle, when you first walk in, if you can imagine a big bathtub, that was our nursery. And all of our infants through 2 years old, they used to put 8 of them in the bathtub at the same time, wash them down every week, and then they were good. I can't imagine the ring around that sucker. But it's not that way anymore. It's not that way. If you'll go on to the next slide, what we're really working on is healing in a broken world. Okay? Not just physical healing, but we're talking about mental, emotional, and bottom line, spiritual healing. That's really what we're trying to do. It's more than just making sure that they are warm and fed. It's more than, on the spiritual side, making sure they get dunked, which used to be the big factor, the number that we used to hold our children's homes and our missionaries accountable for. It's more than that. It's about healing them where they're at. If you'll go on to the next slide. Yeah, I know. That's Mr. Boyce. And who is that child? Do you know? It was one of our foster babies that we had coming in. Not our foster babies, one of our staff's foster babies. Our brokenness starts way early. It really does. The way God designed for us to grow was within a woman created in His image. And once we're born, the way we were designed to be born was with no pain. That came after the fall, if you remember the pain in childbirth. And when we are born, and I say are, that baby is created to see this far, which is this far, between here and the face. That's the way we were created to be made. And the face is the image of God. We are all created in the image of God, and we are created to see the image of God when we first opened our eyes. And to feel the image of God surrounding us in the womb. That's the way we were created. We were created to have loving parents who fed us, took care of us, could differentiate our cries, knew which cry was which, and met our every need. When we cried, we said, our parents say, yes, I will take care of you. And we were meant to have, within the first two or so years of life, starting at conception on, we are created to just hear yes. Yes, I'll take care of you. Yes, I'll take care of my body so I can take care of you. Yes, 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 until we start learning to toddle and we pick up the fork and start heading over to the electrical socket. When we hear our first, no. But we were created to have a firm foundation of yes before we hear our first no. But I don't know any of us in this room that had it the way we were created. I love my parents. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary last year. Okay? They were great parents, but they weren't perfect. Mom says, no. Okay? Glenn and Rita celebrated 52 years. Praise God. I'm sure they'll tell you they weren't perfect either. Our parents weren't perfect because we live in a broken world. Okay? What we're called to do, therefore, is to heal in that brokenness. To look at our kids who have dealt with our brokenness, to look at the parents that we serve that have had brokenness, and in our brokenness, not only heal others, but let God heal ourselves. That's what we're called to do. And that's what we look to do. And so what we look to do is come up with that firm foundation. That firm foundation that we should have had the first two or so years of life is the resounding yes. Yes. And it boils down to meeting needs. If you'll go to the next slide. This is the real verse behind the verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. What's God saying there? Yes. Yes. He's saying yes. I will meet your needs. For whoever asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. He's not saying, hi Emery. He's not saying that try it out and see. He says it will happen. We will get our yes. So we feel at Bowles that in order to build that relationship back up, to get that connection between man and God, we have to do what we do in the image of God and give that yes. If you'll go to the next slide. And, okay. Even if that means letting a kid build a marshmallow gun. like Tony built. Okay? Yeah. Even if that means giving them that yes, but also meeting the need that they don't have. One of the things that we do with the marshmallow guns is we take the kids out and they got the marshmallow guns. We don't just give them a bag of marshmallows and say, go at it. We give them certain boundaries. One of the boundaries that we give them is nothing, don't hit above the neck. Because we don't want marshmallow eyes going on over here. So we tell them, let's take target practice first. And we let each kid get target practice, and we hit a little target, and then we move on to the next step. The next step is, if you want to shoot somebody, you must approach them with good words and eyes and say, may I shoot you? And they hopefully hear, yes. But we help them understand that the other person may say no. Okay, what we're teaching them is, back to Matthew 7, ask and you will receive. Now adults are not permitted to say no. They must say yes when it comes to that. So you got a bunch of little kids going out, may I shoot you, boop, may I shoot you, boop, may I shoot you, nope, may I shoot you, boop, you know? And if you wear black shirts during that day, you got little white spots all over you from the marshmallows. It's great fun. And then after a while, once everybody gets that routine down, we give them a chance to not have to ask permission. And we say, this zone is permission free. You can have all the permission you want. This zone over here means you don't want to be shot and you don't get to shoot anybody. And we give them that opportunity. And it's giving them play. Those are the things that they need. But we also, when we're doing this, is we're using some of the senses that they may not have gotten or that they may crave right now, the oral motor sense, which we learned from Dr. Carol Kranowitz in her book, what's it called? The Out-of-Sync Child, and some of the sensory processing issues that our kids are faced with. Okay? So there's... Everything when we do there is for a purpose. If you go to the next slide, one hour. I'm pretty proud of this little thing that I did. I had the pictures come up and kind of go zoom and zoom. Okay, other thing that we use to meet their needs is give them an opportunity to get work. Okay, like I said, I got a couple of guys working now. This young lady got to work for us for a couple of summers as a lifeguard. I'm training 4 lifeguards starting tomorrow, this whole week. And what we hope for them to do is to learn responsibility that way, but give them a yes. But at the same time, we're trying to teach them to give others a yes. We never say, quit running at the pool. We say, walk. Okay, do you see the difference there? We don't try not to say no. We try to say yes, but we try to do it in very creative ways. Such as Maggie's used to be. Can we go to McDonald's? Yes, but not today. Did she got smart? Can we go to McDonald's today? No. But you try to give them yeses as much as possible. And this young lady here, she was, I think, 16 at the time, just found out that she's married and is expecting her first child. I say just within the last 2 or 3 months. Yeah. Facebook is a wonderful thing because she's living out in Georgia now. Okay, so if you go to the next slide. All right, sometimes it's saying yes and making sure that they are taken care of when it's time for their big banquet. Okay, she looked good that day, didn't she, Elizabeth? You made her look good. Yes, thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, but if you notice with this young lady, she's got a necklace on. That was from was that her house mom? Yeah, it was Aunt Miss Pat's necklace. Okay, she didn't have some nice jewelry to wear at a formal event. She didn't have a nice dress. So we could go out and get those things for her. Okay. okay? She didn't have the nice necklace. So our house mom had some costume jewelry, some nice things that look good, and let her use and pick and choose from there. Give them those yeses in there, okay? There are certain boundaries that we have, but why say no if we can say yes, is what we're talking about here, because that's the way God treats us. He wants us to look that good. In fact, I'll even challenge you to say that He thinks of us as looking that good all the time. Okay? I look at little Bailey back there. She is the sweetest little thing, just, you know, wrapped up in mom's arms. And that's Margaret, by the way, who was one of our moms, but now she's one of our staff members, and we're sad to see her start to go. You're moving to Georgia in 2 weeks, right? Something like that. Frustrating, because we want to keep her, but we know that God's got her. But that's the way we're viewed. God tells us, Christ tells us, to act like little children. There's not a whole lot that Bailey can do wrong right now. She's precious. She really is. All right, if you'll go to the next one. We say yes by giving them voice. We try to give them voice in some of the groups that we do. Some of the voice that we give them is, and you can't tell here, but this young lady, she's holding a chart. And this is actually one of our workers working with our younger kids. We give her that yes as well. But that's just a chart that shows her emotions. Dr. Dan Siegel, who wrote The Whole Brain Child, among other books, he's got a term called name it to claim it. Name it to tame it, I'm sorry. Thank you. Name it to tame it. And what we learn here is that our emotions matter. When we start crying, we're comforted. And not all the times do we have kids, not all the time do we entirely feel comforted. Yesterday, I didn't feel entirely comforted. I was a little frustrated because I had three major projects going on at the same time. For some reason, I enrolled in two summer classes, and one of them is a booger. It's tough. And she expects 100 pages to be read every week during the summer, as well as at least three or four writing assignments. And I didn't feel that great about that yesterday. So I had to understand that I was feeling pain and I was feeling angry. And once you name those things, you can learn how to deal with them. Gave a talk Tuesday to our staff. We talked about the four basic emotions that I learned about. There's happiness, there's sadness, there's fear, and there's anger. If you take any of the four, any of the other emotions, they have to deal with those four. Frustration, anger, desperation, fear or sadness, elation, happy, okay? But out of one of those, anger is actually a secondary emotion. We only feel anger when we feel pain. Or if we anticipate pain. When I smash my finger with the hammer, anger and pain. When somebody hurts me on the inside, anger. When I think that somebody's going to take something away from me, whether it's political or job related, we get angry because we feel like something is going to hurt us. When somebody hurts my child, I feel anger because I feel that pain as well. So what we do is we help our kids identify what their emotions are. Because when they can identify those emotions, I tell all of them that I'll base what I give them on three things: what you're telling me, what you're showing me, and what I'm able to give you. Okay? So if who I picked on, Thomas, tells me that he wants a Dr. Pepper or needs a Dr. Pepper, and I could see he really wants a Dr. Pepper, and if I've got a Dr. Pepper available, I'm going to do everything I can to get him a Dr. Pepper to meet that need, whether it's real or not. Okay? If I got a kid who says that they really need a cigarette, and I could tell they really need a cigarette, I'm not going to get them a cigarette. I might get them a Dr. Pepper instead. Okay? But we find those ways, and we find that balance. If I can have a kid who identifies how they're feeling and what they need, they think that they can negotiate the world. You look at the Psalms and David. I'm angry, God. I'm angry because these people are hurting me, and I'm sad. But I know you're God, because I can tell you how I feel, and I know you'll give me what I need. Okay, if you'll move on to the next one. Even if it means we give them an opportunity to just play. This is made out of marshmallows and toothpicks. But just play. Kids learn by playing. You ever hear about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? None of his friends would let him play the reindeer games. Why are reindeer games so important? Because it teaches little reindeer how to be big reindeer. You watch puppies fight, but it's teaching them how to survive in the wild. My kitten bites all the time. I think I've got a few marks on me. But it teaches her how to be a predator. She hadn't caught anything yet. She's caught it, but she let it go. But we'll wait for that first mouse. Catch it and eat it. Because we got mice. And we want them gone. Okay? But kids play the same way. In their play, it teaches them to be adults. The reason Dr. Gary Landreth started play therapy is he understood that kids need to play. At the end of World War II, in Britain, in London, the kids would go out and play among the rubble. And what did they do? They reenacted the war. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, these kids were traumatized. But through their reenactment, they were able to heal. And we give our kids plenty of time to play. If you can move on to the next one. Even if it means playing in the rain. And yes, that little girl on the right is Maggie. That was before we knew Maggie. And that was in front of your cottage, Denise, when she lived there. And then that's RJ. That Tony's brother right there. And even if it means just playing in the rain and giving them that yes, I got a feeling we may be playing in the rain today. But at some point, we've got to remember to give our kids and give ourselves yes. Because doesn't God give us everything that we need? Okay, if you'll move on to the next one. But really what we're talking about giving our kids and giving our families is family. This is our homecoming. And every year at homecoming, we circle around the bell. And we circle around the bell and we pray. That is the constant for us. That is where we come together. If you'll go on to the next one, and there's our bell in a little bit different light. The picture's been circling around the past year. If you'll go back one more. We're not ready for the cross. Okay. But our bell is where we center around. And there's nothing special about it. It's an old bell. We hardly use it. The only time we use it is if we have a fire. Part of our fire drill technique, and hopefully your house parents are doing the fire drill technique with you, is when you leave the cottage, you go to the bell, right? That's what you're supposed to do. But you go to the bell. That's a meeting place. In the midst of chaos, we meet at the bell. In the midst of desperation, celebration. We meet at the bell. That's our symbol for us. But if you'll go to the next one, as Christians, this is our symbol that we keep coming back to. We talked a little bit about the cross this morning in class. We talked about how in the midst of all of God's anger, with the blah blah sites or whatever, that he destroyed them. But Christ took on that pain. And he took on that struggle. And as Christians, that's who we go to. When it comes down to this. My parents taught me a phrase. They taught me a meaning, I guess. When I hear about, do not store up your treasures on earth, but store up your treasures on heaven. I ain't got no money up there. But my mom and dad taught me that the treasures in heaven that we keep are the relationships that we build on the earth. That's what we're doing. And I'm not just talking about what we do at Bowles Home. That's what we do here. We treasure and value the relationships because those are the living sacrifices not only of ourselves but of others that we lift up to Christ. Those are the ones, our frustrations and our pain that we put on the on the cross. Those are the things that we do. Because it's not just about healing others. If you'll go to the next slide, it's about healing ourselves. I learned this from Dr. Karen Purvis, a great friend of mine. She says that you cannot lead a child to a place of healing if you do not know the way yourself. You cannot know the love or share the love of the Father without knowing the love of the Father yourself. You cannot show the way to bring up a child if you can't know, if you don't know how God brought you up and is bringing you up. You can't know redemption if you haven't experienced it. And that's the beauty of what we do here at Pecan Grove. That's the beauty of what we do in Quinlan, Texas. Is we understand that we serve a God. We serve a Father who is redemptive. And the way we express that redemption is by living that redemption. And knowing that we are the ones. Okay? So I'm here showing you guys about the folks over at Bowles. But all of what I've been talking about today is what they've shown me. What Christ has shown me at Bowles. What Christ has shown me at Pecan Grove. That the little things like kids screaming and yelling don't matter. They don't. And we're going to get embarrassed by it sometimes, but it doesn't matter. That the little things don't matter sometimes. That my pain and my frustration of not being able to get my papers written a week early because I've got a lifeguard class doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What really matters are the relationships that we build on this earth. Because those relationships draw us close to the Father. Okay? All right, so this is the next old school part that I'm going to bring up. Do the whole as we stand and sing part. But really and truly, if you don't know that relationship, if you don't have that experience, this is your opportunity to come forward if you need to, or if you want to talk to somebody right there, go for it. Because we're all family here. We're all family. And if you're not part of the family, it's okay. We want you to be. That's the cool part about it. God wants you as part of his family. Don, as we stand and sing.